this bubble into my celestial home. But before I turn, there are certain obstacles, and these methods and practices are used to remove those obstacles so that I am able to churn properly. My morning butter I will get without any obstacles. Okay. So, we now come to today's note. The three qualities leading to action of some sort. The wrong theory of evil and devil, it is of no use blaming God or devil or another person because of our self-created world in which we ourselves force ourselves to live in.
I think there is something.
The sutra 7 says, the past and the present exist in reality. The form assumed today that I am what I am today, the form assumed in time concept of the present is the result of developed characteristics in the past birth and hold latent seeds of future quality. This that I am born with is because what I was and what I will be will depend on what I will do today. It clearly says you have a structure that depends on what you did in your last life. And your structure of your next life will depend upon what you'll do in this life. Again, the philosophy is you change your structure. If you read another sutra, the stage of development, where whatever I am, the stage of my present state, the stage of development is responsible for the various modifications of the versatile psychic nature and of the thinking principle. I am what I am because of my emotional structure, my mental structure, my psychic structure. All that put together creates samskara. Both the Gita, both the Yoga Sutra, they guide us into one channel. Do not go here and there. Do not go from one teacher to another. Do not go from one book to another. Don't roam about from ashram to ashram. Just do this. Change your structure. Change your sanskar. That's all you have to do. And if there are certain obstacles in the way, there are certain methods, there are certain techniques that will remove them. This is the base of our shastra. This is the base of our Hindu thought. Yes, there is difficulty. In other countries and in other religions, that the law of rebirth and self-created evil does not exist for the greatest mind of the West, minds of the West, from Plato onwards. It is not possible to explain the various conditions of existence. We know this, but those who do not believe in rebirth, those who do not believe in a structure, those who do not believe in sanskar, those who do not believe in our ability to change, those who do not believe that whatever we are is self-inflicted, it is very difficult for them to explain the 11 or 12 disciples of Christ asked Jesus Christ, Master, who did sin? He or his forbear? For he was born blind. Who is responsible? He was born blind. How could he sin in this life? Did his parents sin? Who sinned? It is a natural question. Whether it's Christianity, Hindu, Chinese thought, the thought concept, why is he born blind? why is he born physically handicapped? Why is it that this child is backward? And unless this is the base, it's difficult to explain. Then they say, with God everything is possible. It's God's way. God does not arbitrarily do things, does not do things. In the Gita, Lord Krishna tells us, nobody is my friend, nobody is my enemy. I favor none. They are what they are because they are this illusion. We live in an illusion. God does not involve himself. He has no reason to involve himself to say, make him good, make him bad, make her like this. No! Even the Mughal Empire will not do such foolish things, much less God, you see. So, it is difficult in the Western philosophy. There are gaps in the Western philosophy there. Because why comes every now and then? And then they bring in two things. One is, it is God's wish, and secondly, the devil. If devil exists, and if devil is so powerful, that God is not worth God. It's no use following such a God. If there can be a powerful devil to challenge him. So, these trying to fill up the gap with a devil and wish of God is not possible. Let them have their thoughts, we are not interested, but we believe firmly that we are creating for ourselves what we do, how we mean, whether we would care to change our sanskar. That is the major issue. Life on this planet, very good. You know, in the old days, there was a zoo in big towns and cities. Then in the modern world, you have the pre-life sanctuary, wildlife sanctuary, where wild animals live in natural surroundings. But they live in this sanctuary in such a way that they can't come out of the sanctuary. You and I and all these 5 billion people are wild animals. And so God has put us in a wildlife sanctuary. He has given us a world, you live on this world, do what you like. We can't jump out of it. We are living in a wildlife sanctuary. Shall we get out and stay with people who are more cultured? We have to break this shell and go. Otherwise we will continue to live in this wildlife sanctuary. Well, if your spaceship you can't jump. If you think that God has put you in a wildlife sanctuary, you will rebel. That is why I am giving you the thought. Life on this planet is a wildlife sanctuary. So a thought arises, how to jump across this wildlife sanctuary and live with or among some more advanced and cultured beings. This will give you some reason to follow certain practices. But unfortunately, we have introduced a negative thought firmly in our mind, and that is karma, or its improper translation, destiny. The law does exist, but like the tiniest atom, unless it has some deeper and proper use, nature and God would not let that law exist. What is the good of karma or destiny? The good of karma is that it places the responsibility of the state of our existence on ourselves and the means adopted to overcome. To understand Sutra of Saint Patanjali, one must be aware of these, otherwise reading the sutras will not help. Destiny gives a sad picture. It is destined and makes man a spineless creature. Modern science, with genes engineering, that is the science of changing the structure of genes, comes nearer to a concept of refining and upgrading structure and spectrum. Refining
and upgrading sanskar. You don't laugh, you'll keep laughing for eternal life, mind you.
The scientific method is artificial, but self-study and practices of refining and upgrading is a natural process. Hence in the Yoga Sutra of St. Patanjali, emphasis is laid on refining and upgrading the structure and its spectrum, upgrading sanskar. Normally, mind is not seen, and it functions also through brain, and so science does not see, but can understand the difference between mind and brain, and use these two words as synonymous. The pastor says, this is very beautiful, this very mind that has no abiding place anywhere is the Buddha mind itself. This mind, which has no abiding place, it is so huge, infinite mind is so huge, everything abides in it, it has no abiding place. It is what? It's the Buddha mind, infinite mind, universal divine mind. Like brain, we cannot claim what we call individual mind as our mind and treat it as one of our possessions like heart or lung. So the Sutra of St. Patanjali talk about refining and upgrading, followed by establishing communication with this non-abiding mind. When this communication is established, one becomes very wise, for the infinite mind, the Buddha mind, can show infinite wisdom. That is another sadhana. What happens when infinite wisdom is poured on us? We come to know that in the vast universe there is a continuous change, the arising and passing away of all things. It does not matter if it is in seconds, days, years or yugas. And that the only abiding factor is within each human being, Ishvara, the Gurudeva. The Ishvara, the Gurudeva, the only teacher worthy to guide each one of us. We are going here and there from one teacher to another, good or can be, over only when you are instructed how to establish communication with the non-abiding infinite mind. This much an external teacher can teach. Beyond this, the individual's own Ishvara, Gurudeva, will guide. In the sutra, the steps, yama, niyam, asana, pranayam, leading to pratyahara are stages that an external teacher, if he or she is well qualified, can guide. The important steps of dana, dhyana, samadhi and the fourth way are to be experienced at the feet of one's own transcendental master, Ishvara, the Gurudeva. And so, St. Patanjali says, when thoughts which are contrary to yoga are present, there should be the cultivation of their opposite. Thoughts contrary to yoga are harmfulness, falsehood, theft, incontinence, avarice. Some of you might say, such thoughts do not arise in my mind. But you must know, when you are faced with dhamma sankat, when you least react to say, to Drona Chaya, here Saswata Dhamma is there, kintu hathi, which is said softly, kintu hathi. The man who never said an untruth, whose chariot was off the ground by 9 inches, there was a time in Dharma Sankata when he said, a lie. When you say not to tell falsehood, it's not the regular way of telling falsehood. When a subtle situation arises, then you have to say the truth. You know the story of that little boy? The mother was preparing dinner for the man who was working hard as laborer. But the meat she has brought was eaten by the cat. So she killed the dog and took that meat. And the little boy saw all this. And sitting in one corner, he said, Bolu to maa mar jare, na bolu to baap kutta khaye.
You see? These are dharam sankara situations. Will you bear a lie or not? These are very difficult to try. You understand? When time comes to test you, will you tell a lie or not? Okay, let's go for it. Thoughts contrary to yoga. Thoughts contrary to yoga do not arise. Remember this. Thoughts contrary to yoga do not arise. That means you are always clean. Internally, we are or should always be peaceful, rhythmic and beautiful. If this is not our experience all 24 hours, it means we have harbored unintentionally or intentionally thoughts contrary to yoga. So live peacefully, rhythmically and beautifully within all the 24 hours is the normal life. Not so living is abnormal life. And as long as we live such a normal life, we need to live in a wildlife sanctuary. Only if this much is possible, then only the sutras become meaningful. Not if one is a scholar of English or Sanskrit. Your structure and with its spectrum is not refined and upgraded sufficiently so that one could live internally, peacefully, rhythmically and beautifully. Whatever the external circumstances be, you cannot be peaceful if everything around you is peaceful. You must be peaceful when there is storm raging all around you. Your internal peace should be of a quality that it is not rattled by outside circumstances. Whatever the external circumstances be, the sutras will remain a piece of beautiful literature never to be understood. Millions and millions have read the Gita, millions and millions have read the sutra, but they have not taken the first step. The first step to make a serious attempt to change samsara. Of course, in a beautiful world like this, like a huge philharmonic orchestra, Leningrad or New York or Paris Philharmonic Orchestra, the hundreds of instruments, he's giving off some silly tone, but in the hand of a great composer, that such rhythm, such symphony, so though we, millions of us are so out of tune, yet together, if you can listen, whether it is Satyug or whether it is Kalyug, there is always a symphony. But you can hear that symphony when the symphony is in you. If there is discord in you, you can't hear the symphony. It's all said and done. Though we may be in a wildlife sanctuary, even here there is symphony, here there is rhythm, here there is beauty. So right, it is here. If it is not here, it is nowhere, not in that celestial realm also. It must be here. And to bring it here, there is only one. Refine, upgrade samskara. Clear? For three meetings, I have been telling you the same thing in a different way. In the fourth meeting, I won't tell you now. Now we'll go forward. Okay? If you have questions, ask. For our exercises, we are meeting on Saturday. Both the groups. First group at 3:30. And second at 5. This time, after the main exercise, I will show you the healing beauty of three-step rhythmic breathing. Physical healing, emotional healing, mental healing, psychological healing, through three-step rhythmic breathing. There's a regular Gunjya. On Saturday, both the groups will meet, and after the phase exercise, we shall take up the rhythm, the beauty of three-step rhythmic breathing to bring about healing, actual healing in your own self, by your own self, through three-step rhythmic breathing. Remind me if I forget. So we will be meeting on Saturday, day after tomorrow, for our phase exercise. And when do we meet next month? Well, it is the Thursday. 27th. Is 27th all right? 27th? December? And 29th, Saturday following? Is it clear, please? Okay? Pardon? Yeah. Anything wrong? 27th is not Thursday in December? I don't know. 27th is our last Thursday. We shall meet for a meeting. And the following Saturday, 29th, for the fifth exercise. Okay? And remind me about three-step rhythmic breathing. Okay? Thank you.
Yeah.